thankful you have an anchor in your life today. Amen. That anchor showed up for us this week. Amen. When Sister Amber was involved in a very serious automobile accident. Amen. If you haven't seen the pictures on Facebook, it's a miracle that that car did not flip over the edge of that bridge. Amen. But I want to have her come and share her testimony, how the anchor still holds in her life today before I preach to you today. Is that all right? Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise as Sister Amber comes to testify?
Praise the Lord, church. First of all, I just want to give God all the honor. I know truly it was not for him, I would not be here today. I thank him for just being the head of my life and knowing even through all of this, my God's still good. My God's still a provider. My God's a protector. I want to give honor to my pastor for always encouraging me never to give up. I feel like if it wasn't for him and for God, I wouldn't be up here today. I thank the Lord for a praying dad. Tuesday night before my accident, Wednesday morning, my dad came up to the altar and he said, I just prayed thanking God for protection. And I truly believe if he wasn't obedient that night, that I wouldn't be here today. I have a broken collarbone. I'll take that over not being here for my kids. And I thank God also because if it would have been a day later, one of my kids would have been in that front seat. And things would have been a lot worse as well. And I just thank God for his protection overall and for never leaving my family because I truly feel like God's not done with me and my family yet. And this is just proof right here.
Amen. She's here with a broken collarbone today. But she's here, giving praise and giving glory unto the Lord today. Amen. One more time before we turn to the word of the Lord, could we give the Lord a hand clap of praise for all of our visitors? Amen. We are so thankful to have you in the house of the Lord today. Amen. If you would, amen, grab your Bibles, stand with me today in reverence to the word of God. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter. I'll be reading verse 10 through verse 14. Amen. And, you know, it's amazing how God lines things up. And I just, you know, many times as a pastor, you don't really have the luxury of an evangelist. Sometimes you just have to feel what God wants you to say to the body of Christ. And you just have to share with the body what God has placed on your heart. And today, I want to share with you what I feel in my spirit today. Excuse me for saying this, but I didn't come to pump you up. I didn't come to get you shouting. I need to share with you what I feel in my spirit to give this body direction today. Amen. And I want to tell you, I really felt when she said, when Sister Amber said, she thanked God for a praying dad. And she began to share how that her father came up here on Tuesday night and began to pray for protection upon his family. Sister Charlene, it wasn't that long ago when you got that dreaded call that your son had been in an automobile accident a long ways away from here. But God is a merciful God. He's a merciful God today. Amen. And she was telling her story about how Brother Ken came up here, was praying for protection. And right after he prayed that prayer, she was involved in that accident. Was it the next day? Or 2 days later, the next day? Amen. She was involved in that accident, and simply a miracle. I seen the pictures of that car where she hit the side of that bridge in Shelbyville, and it was simply a miracle, amen, that she's here today with us, amen. It says, I thank God for your miracle today. I thank God for your miracle today. Amen. If this body would allow me, I want to share with you what's on my heart today. Meet me in the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter and the 10th verse. You can shout yes when you get there. Exodus 14 and 10. If you do not have a Bible, please see us before you leave this place today. We will make sure you have a Bible. Every home needs a Bible in it. Amen. Exodus, the 14th chapter and the 10th verse, an old familiar passage of Scripture. Amen. But it's so fitting with what's in my heart today. I need to share this text with you. Verse 10 says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and they beheld the Egyptians marching after them. How many have ever felt like you had the enemy close on your tail? Amen. The Israelites lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians were marching right after them. And the Bible says that they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel began to cry out unto the Lord. And they began to say unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in this wilderness? And wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? Moses, didn't we tell you in Egypt to just leave us alone, that we may serve these Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die here in this wilderness. Verse 13 says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord was telling them, I'm going to destroy your enemy today. Amen. And verse 14 is where I want to hang my hat for just a moment this early afternoon. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Amen. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Can I tell this church today that when you are about to engage in a battle, before you do anything, there is a period of preparation for the battle. And that's what Sister Amber was just talking about a few moments ago. Amen. There was a period of time of preparation for the battle. Before you ever engage in any battle, can I tell you, you better first make sure you're engaged with the Lord. Before you ever engage in any battle in your life, you better first make sure you are engaged with the Lord. I want to preach to this body for a few moments today about that subject. I want to preach to you today, before I fight. Before I fight, before you're seated today, can we lift a hand clap of praise all over this house unto the Lord? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for all of our visitors. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for his mercy and his goodness. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way for 5 years of sobriety. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's good today and he's worthy of all of our praise. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Amen. You may be seated. Before I fight. Amen. I love how God lines things up. Sun Tzu was a military general. He also was a military strategist and a philosopher in ancient China. Sun Tzu emphasized something in his classic work entitled The Art of War. This is what he emphasized that I want to share with this body today. And I hope this gets so deep in your craw and so deep in your spirit that you can never get it out. This is what he said in his classic work, The Art of War. He said, when your strategy is deep and far-reaching, then what you gain by your calculations is much, so you can win. I'm going to say that again. When your strategy is deep and far-reaching, then what you gain by your calculations is much, so you can win. Can I tell you today, before you ever even fight, you can win. Before you ever lift a hand, before you ever say a word, if your strategy is deep and far-reaching, then what you gain by your calculations is much, so you can win before you ever even fight. But when your strategic thinking is shallow, when your strategic thinking is nearsighted, then what you gain by your calculations is little, so you lose before you ever go to battle. Before you ever even go to battle, you lose. Can I tell this church today that much strategy prevails over little strategy? Much strategy prevails over little strategy. So those who have no strategy cannot help but be defeated. Therefore, it is said that victorious warriors win first and then they go to war. Do I have any victorious soldiers in this place today? Victorious soldiers win first and then they go to war. They don't wait till the wreck happens before they start praying. No, they discern and they start praying before the wreck ever even happens. They begin to plead the blood of Jesus upon their family, upon their friends, and they go to battle before the war ever even starts. You're already a winner. You're already victorious when you put it in the hands of Jesus today. Hallelujah. Amen. Victorious warriors win first, then they go to war, while defeated warriors go to war and then they seek to win. Amen. Hallelujah. Before I fight. Can I tell you, some of us were raised in different atmospheres. Some of us were raised in different situations. Some of us were raised in rough neighborhoods. Some of us were raised in well-to-do neighborhood. Some of us were raised to fight, and that's why we always got a chip on our shoulder. But no matter how you were raised, whether you were raised to fight or whether you was taught not to fight, amen, no matter how you were raised, amen, fighting in the spiritual will always look different than fighting in the natural. Can I tell you, you can't use what you learned growing up in the hood to fight your spiritual battles today. No, honey, you're going to have to learn how to turn it over to the Lord. And you're going to have to learn who the battle really belongs to. You're going to have to learn who really holds the power, who really holds the keys, who has all power in heaven and in earth today. And fighting in the spiritual will always look different than fighting in the physical. The church must get a hold of this biblical principle. The battle belongs to the Lord. Turn to your neighbor today and say, the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. And because the battle belongs to the Lord, amen, our preparation and our trust needs to be in the Lord and not in ourselves. Now, that's a hard concept for us to get a hold of today. That's a hard concept for us to come to grips with today. Amen, Brother Harold, that we can't take care of ourselves, that we can't control our future, that it's not all up to us like we think it is. It's a hard concept to understand that the battle belongs to the Lord and not to we ourselves. But when we get a hold of that, we begin to realize, amen, that we got to prepare for the battle in a different way than we used to. Amen. The church must get a hold of the biblical principle that the battle belongs to the Lord. Is that not what David said? Amen. The battle is not mine. Amen. It's the Lord's. Amen. The battle belongs to the Lord today. And because the battle belongs to the Lord, our preparation and our trust needs to be in the Lord today and not in ourselves. Can I tell you, a child of God's real battles are not against people. You may think they are sometimes, but there's always a spirit behind what people do. Your battles are not against people. Your battles are not against guys down the street and people in the car next to you that you just accidentally cut off. Your battles are not against people today. Amen. But you are battling against spiritual forces and evil schemes and spiritual wickedness in high places. And there's only one person who can bring that kind of power down. And all power belongs to him in heaven and in earth. And heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. And if you're going to learn how to be successful, you got to learn how to prepare for the battle before you fight. Can I tell you, that's exactly what Brother Ken was doing. Can I tell you that worship and pray are acts of spiritual warfare? You're waging war against the enemy. You're waging war against the one who wants to destroy your family. You're waging war against the one who wants to destroy your marriage. You're waging war against the one who wants to destroy your health and your finances and your friendships. And you're saying, I'm not going to sit back and take it quietly. No, sir. No, ma'am. I'm going to engage. I'm going to engage with the Lord before I ever go out to battle. And I'm going to give the battle to the one who can win for me before I even fight. That's what the child of God has to come to grips with today. You put God first. You send Judah first. You realize the battle doesn't belong to you. And when you realize this, it shifts your focus from winning an earthly conflict to standing strong in your faith in God. Can I tell you, winning is all about standing. Winning is all about persevering. Winning is all about faithfulness to God. Winning ain't about, come on, can I tell somebody that the battle's not to the strongest? Come on, but the battle's unto him that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. It ain't about you being the biggest or the baddest or the best or the prettiest or the most anointed. It's about whether you got some fire in you to hold on when things get tough in your life and say, I'm going to give my battle to the Lord because he's the one who can fight for me and win my battle before I ever even go out to fight. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost today. I feel the Holy Ghost today. Come on, overcoming the devil's tactics becomes our real objective. Withstanding the fiery darts of the enemy becomes our real objective. Can I tell you today, you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. But you first got to become obedient unto God. Listen to God. Hear God. Become obedient unto God. Surrender yourself unto God. And then you can resist the devil. And the Bible says he will flee from you. Can I tell you, the battle's all about putting it in the hands of the one who holds the victory. The battle, look, our real objective today is overcoming the devil's tactics. Can I tell you the day that Jesus spent 3 years training and conditioning his disciples for the battle that awaited them. 3 years, man. I've spent 7-8 years with folks in this church that were here from the very beginning. And some of them, they walk away like it wasn't nothing. Like it didn't mean anything. I'm amazed that in 3 short years, Brother Ken, Jesus spent with his disciples training them, teaching them, conditioning his disciples for the battle that was ahead of them. He told his disciples some things that we don't like to hear. Can I just be real with you for just a moment? He told his disciples some things that ain't real popular in our hearing. He told his disciples that, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. If you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to leave some stuff behind you. If you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to leave some people behind you. If you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to pick up your cross and you're going to have to follow me. And if any man is going to save his life, he's going to have to lose it. And if any man shall lose his life, he's going to have to fight hard to save it. Amen. Jesus told his disciples some things that are not real popular in our hearing. Living for God will cost you some stuff. Ooh, I got about five amens. Living for God will cost you some stuff. Living for God, now come on, I'm not talking about living for God halfway as many are trying to do. Come on, can I tell you, it don't matter how hard they fight. If you live for God halfway, it ain't never gonna get you anywhere. You can fight, you can claw, you can scratch, you can scream, you can do anything you want. But until you put the battle in the Lord's hand, until you say, Lord, I trust you with everything that's within me. The battle doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. And you trust God. Your battle is won before you ever even go out and fight. Man, how wonderful is that to know? That before I ever even go out to battle, Brother Carl, the victory already belongs to me because I'm with the victor. Huh? I'm in him. He's in me. I'm on the winning side. Before I ever even go out to battle, the Lord has already gone before me and fought the battle for me. My God. Man, everything in this service has led us to this point today. Overcoming the devil's tactics is our real objective today. If any man save his life, he's going to lose it. You can't hold on to the old man today. You got to let him go. Because living for God is free, but it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something today. Living for God will change some stuff in your life today. You got to grow. You got to mature. You got to develop a desire to be more like him. You got to learn to put him first in your life. You got to learn to love him more. You got to learn to listen to his voice because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And it doesn't matter how you grew up, rich or poor, sheltered or exploited, the opportunity to be like Jesus is the same for each and every one of us. Doesn't matter what background you come from. Doesn't matter how much money mom and dad had. It doesn't matter how bad mom and dad treated you. The opportunity to be like Jesus is the same for each and every one of us. I grew up in a sheltered home with a good mom and dad. I never seen drugs. I never seen alcohol. Brother Timmy was hooked on drugs and alcohol. He just shared with you he's 5 years sober yesterday. Can I tell you, he's the same God for him as he is for me today. The opportunity to be like Jesus is the same for each and every one of us. We're all going to come by way of the cross. We're all going to come by way of the Holy Ghost. We're all spiritual brethren and sisters today. Amen. In the house of God. And the opportunity to be like Jesus is the same for all of us. We all got to take up our cross and follow him. We all got to lay down our lives for Christ's sake. Amen. We all got to give ourselves to him wholly and completely. We all got to learn to put him first. We all got to mature in Christ. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, he said, I put away childish things. Can I tell you, God doesn't want you to act like a child in his house today. God wants you to be a mature, strong, secure child of God. He wants you to know that he's going to go before you and fight your battles so that they're won before you ever even go out to fight. To put him first, to love him more, to listen to his voice. And it doesn't matter what walk of life you came from today. To be like Jesus means the same for all of us. And when you start growing in him, and when you start realizing that there is no danger that he wouldn't step in front of you for, When you start realizing that there's no enemy that he won't fight for you. When you start realizing there's no bridge he won't protect you from. When you start realizing, come on, that he'll give you a child if you'll just pray and ask him. He'll set you free if you'll just pray and ask him. When you start realizing there's nothing he won't do for you, you will want to be like him. You will want to be like him. You will want to please him. Amen. When you start growing in him and realizing that there's no danger he won't step in front of for you. There's no enemy he won't fight for you. There's no disappointments that he won't suffer long with you. He will be there through hard times. When you repent of your sins and you get baptized in Jesus' name and you get filled with the Holy Ghost, it will give you a holy boldness that will come over you, and you will realize that you are an overcomer today because he is an overcomer. Come on, you don't have to settle for insufficiencies and insecurities. You can have the boldness of the Holy Ghost today, and you can walk into every battle saying, I don't have to worry about this battle because I know the one who's going to fight my battle. And before I ever get engaged, I've already engaged with the Master. I've already gave it to Jesus, and I know that everything's going to be all right. Come on, When you do these things, when you go by the way of salvation and the plan of salvation, nothing's impossible with God. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Huh? He is made perfect. He is made strong in your weakness. Huh? You don't have to worry about all of your insufficiencies and your shortcomings. All you have to do is be sincere and live for him with all of your heart. He'll take care of the rest. You just do your best to honor God, to be faithful to God, because God will not reward unfaithfulness. God will not reward unfaithfulness. We're a new creature. We're a new creation. Nothing is impossible with our God. And in our weakness, he is made strong. And he is strong, and he has imparted into us that same strength. He's a creator. He has imparted into us to speak things into existence, to change atmospheres, to change situations. And fighting might not look like it used to for me. But one day I had to come to grips, Brother Josh. Amen. I grew up in Fountain Square, Brother Joe, I realized, man, there was a time I had to defend myself. How, when you grow up in the hood, you got to learn sometimes you got to defend yourself. Can anybody shout amen? Huh? Come on, it ain't God's will. He don't want you out there busting knuckles, but there's sometimes you got to stand up for yourself. Amen. But when I became a child of God, I realized that fighting for me don't look like it used to. My fighting, my battles don't look like it used to. I'm now engaged in a spiritual warfare, and I keep myself away from situations where I got to throw hands. I want to lift hands. I don't want to throw hands. I want to give glory to God today. I want to give glory to God today. And fighting might not look like it used to, but that don't make me no sissy. I ain't no sissy today. You ain't no sissy today. You're a child of God today. You're a child of the King today. Come on, and turning the other cheek don't make you a sissy. Turning the other cheek makes you strong. Praying for your enemy don't make you no sissy. Praying for your enemy makes you strong. We ain't no sissies today. Come on, and the church don't need to be sissified today. Amen. And fighting might not look like it used to. Amen. But living for God ain't always easy. And that living for God don't make you no sissy today. We don't need a church that's been sissified. We need a church that knows who the victor is. We need a church who knows who our Father is. We need a church that can handle the truth. We need a church that knows who the battle belongs to today. And the battle belongs to our God. We need a church that can handle the truth. We need a church that knows how to dance its way out of despair like you was a few moments ago. Come on, we need a church who knows how to shout through the storm. We need a church that knows how to pray through the problem. We need a church that knows how to clap until the calamity goes away. We need a church that understands that worship and praise is an act of warfare, and we're not going to go down without a fight. We're going to give it to God, and he's going to win our battles before we ever go out to fight. before I fight. Come on. We need a church today that's going to stand still until the salvation of God shows up. Huh? The children of Israel, when their back was against that Red Sea and they opened their eyes, they looked out and they seen that that Egypt was close on their tail. First thing they did, start murmuring and complaining against the man of God. First thing they did, start throwing a hissy fit. Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? We would have been better off in Egypt. We could have kept on serving those Egyptians. Let me tell you what not knowing how to fight will do. It'll cause you to stay right where you were. It'll cause you to want to stay in Egypt. It'll cause you to settle for less than what God has in store for you. But when you realize this is how we fight our battles, we give God glory and we give God praise. We give our families protection. We give our health. We give our finances unto the Lord before the battle ever gets there. That's how we fight our battles today. We need a church that will stand still till the salvation of the Lord shows up. And can I tell you, much strategy always prevails over little strategy. And can I tell you, going into the battle without a strategy makes about as much sense, Brother Mike, as placing a milk bucket under a bull. Going into a battle without a strategy, Brother Kyler, makes about as much sense as putting a milk bucket under a bull. You ain't gonna get nothing. Can I tell you, there's a way that the church fights its battles. Can I tell you, there's a strategy that the Lord has taught the church today. Can I tell you, when the children of Israel went out to battle, they didn't put those with the bows and the arrows and the swords and the spears in the front. They sent Judah out first. And the word Judah means praise. So what did they do when they were getting ready to go to battle? They sent out their praise first. They sent out their worship first. They gave glory to God first. They engaged with God before they ever engaged with their enemy. Somebody clap your hands and give him praise today. Before you ever engage with your enemy, you need to first engage with your God. Because going out to battle without a strategy makes no sense at all. And much strategy always prevails over little strategy. So what's the strategy of the church today? I'm glad you asked. What's the strategy of the church today? What's the necessary preparation of the church today? Can I tell you, you got an enemy lurking in the shadows. Can I tell you, you got an enemy lurking and hiding in the bushes. Can I tell you, you got a storm or a battle waiting around the corner for you. And it's unwise to wait until the enemy jumps on you full force for you to make your preparation for the battle. Can I tell you, it's unwise for you to wait until your daughter's in an automobile accident for you to call out on the name of Jesus. Can I tell you, every day of your life, you ought to be praying God's protection on your children. Can I tell you, every day of your life, you ought to be praying that God will give you the strength to hold on till His soon coming. Every day of your life, you ought to be giving your life and your battle to the Lord today. It makes absolutely no sense at all to wait. Amen. To wait until everything has gone wrong to call out on the name of Jesus. No, you call out on the name of Jesus right now. You give glory unto the Lord right now. Amen. That's the strategy of the church. You got a storm. You got a battle waiting right around the corner for you. And it's unwise for you to wait until your enemy jumps on you for you to prepare for that fight. You don't go out into the storm to put your rain jacket on. Do you do that, Brother Elisha? Do you go out in the middle of the field into pouring down rain and say, oh, let me put my rain jacket on? No, you put your rain jacket on in the house before you ever go out in the rain. Come on, somebody. then why do we want to wait until the enemy jumps on us and starts pouncing on us before we start giving glory to God and we start giving praise to God and we start giving our lives and our families and our homes and our marriages unto God? Now you got to prepare for the battle before the battle ever starts. Come on. Can I tell somebody in this church today, you got to make your preparations right now because your battle's on the way. You got to make your preparations right now. You better have your strategy right now because the enemy is coming for you and the enemy is coming for your family. Can I tell you, you don't need less church. You need more church. You need as much church as you can get. You need as many prayer meetings as you can get. Come on, here's one for you. You need as many midweek services as you can get. You need as much Sunday school as you can get today. You got to make your preparations right now. The Bible talks to us about the ant. Even the ant is smart enough to put up for the winter. Oh, Holy Ghost, help me. Holy Ghost, help me. Even the ant, my God, are the people of God, Brother Mike, not wiser than the ant? Even the ant puts up for the winter. But we ain't got enough Holy Ghost about us to understand we need to be in the house of God. We ain't got enough Holy Ghost in us to understand we need to be at prayer meetings. We need to be at outreach. We need to do all these things that strengthen the body of Christ. Why? Because we're making our preparations for the battle before we ever go out to fight. We're making our preparations for the battle before we ever go out to fight. You need as much Jesus as you can get, church. I'm sorry, I don't know how else to put it to you. You need as much Jesus as you can get today. You need as much church as you can get today. You need as much fellowship as you can get today. You got to make your preparations right now. You got to make your preparations right now. I don't care who it offends. We ain't never going to stop preaching faithfulness to God. No, sir, no, ma'am. No, maybe you got to have a denominational church to give you some feel-good stuff. No, here I'm going to tell you, you got to be faithful to God. God is not a rewarder of those that are unfaithful. God's a rewarder unto those that diligently seek Him. God is a rewarder for those that put their trust in Him. God is a rewarder of those that love Him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and body. God is a rewarder to those that diligently seek Him. We got to keep on being faithful to God. He's a faithful God and He requires a faithful people. I'm going to say that again. You might even want to get out in your notes on your phone and write it down. He's a faithful God and He requires a faithful people. God will never reward your unfaithfulness. He will never reward your unfaithfulness. Faithfulness is what prepares you for the battle. Faithfulness is our preparation. Faithfulness is our strategy. Come on, I've been in this thing long enough to watch some people. Amen. They get the Holy Ghost. They speak with tongues. They live for God. They get on fire for God. They do this and they do that. But they don't ever become faithful to God. And then I've seen people that fight their way through everything, Brother Bo. I've seen people that was gifted, anointed, called to do certain things, but they didn't care about faithfulness to God. And I've seen people, come on, they got to fight and scratch and claw, and life's been unfair to them, and life hasn't dealt them the cards that they wanted, but they show up to church on Sunday, and they show up to Sunday school on Sunday morning, and they show up to midweek in the middle of the week, and they show up to prayer meetings, and they give God the glory. And let me tell you something, I can see that God rewards their faithfulness. The statistics do not lie. God rewards faithfulness. The evidence shows God rewards faithfulness. He's a rewarder to those that diligently seek Him. Don't buy into what the world's telling you. Don't buy into what our culture's trying to feed you today. Come on, you ain't looking for just a feel-good salvation. You're looking for a salvation that sometimes will cut you. You're looking for a salvation that will direct you. You're looking for a salvation that will chastise you. You're looking for a salvation that will get you to heaven. That's what you're looking for today. And it's going to take faithfulness to God to get you to heaven. Faithfulness is not optional. Faithfulness is required by God. The Bible doesn't say he's a rewarder to everybody. It says he's a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. This world is full of people trying to do church on the cheap. My God, Holy Ghost, help us. Man, if you think church on the cheap is going to get you to heaven, I come to tell you today, living for God is going to cost you something. Living for God is going to cost you something. He's a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we make our preparations. We understand who the battle belongs to. And when we understand who the battle belongs to, we understand that our preparation changes. The fight no longer is ours. The fight is God's. Our job, Brother Timmy, is to be faithful to God. And when we're faithful to God, he's going to be faithful to us, and he's going to show up. You think for one second David stood a chance physically when he walked out into the valley of Elah? Physically, he didn't stand an ounce of a chance, but his faithfulness to God changed his circumstance. His faithfulness to God turned the battle over to the Lord. And when he pulled that little smooth stone out of that sling and he started whipping it in the Holy Ghost, let me tell you something. When that thing shot out of that little pouch, it was divinely guided by the Holy Ghost to land right in that little opening of that Goliath's head. Right in that little opening. It was divinely orchestrated. He's a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. This is how we make our preparations. We're faithful to God. When we're faithful to God, he's faithful to us. Can I reminisce for just a moment? We all have experienced what it's like in our school days to go into school and feel the anxiety as we're walking into a test. Every single last one of us. Every one of us in this room knows what it's like to walk into school and to know you got to take a test that day. Whether it was a quiz in a mathematics or a biology class, or whether you was taking an SAT, it doesn't matter. You felt the anxiety of that test. We all have experienced what it feels like to walk into a test that we did not prepare for. Every one of you, don't lie to me. Every one of you know what it's like to walk into a test that you knew that you did not prepare for. It brings a certain level of anxiety. It brings a low confidence. It makes you feel like, man, I'm going to flunk this test because I didn't study like I was supposed to. And every one of us have experienced what it feels like to walk into that classroom knowing that we spent night after night after night studying for that test, and to walk into that room with the confidence and boldness that we did our due diligence to study everything for that test. Can I tell you, most of the time, that will lead you to a passed test. Most of the time, if you study, you will pass your test. But most of the time, unless you're brilliant, and some of you may be, I'm not. Most of the time, when I did not study for a test, Brother Josh, I walked out of that room disappointed because I flunked that test. It's the same way in your spiritual life. You have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to prepare yourself for the test. to prepare yourself for the battle. Last Tuesday night, when I got done preaching and we gave an altar call and we started singing, Brother Ken had an opportunity to get out of that sound booth and walk to the front of this church and to put the protection of his family in God's hands. And that's exactly what he did. So guess what? When we got the call on Wednesday morning, the Sister Amber was in an accident. We were confident that our God was going to show up. Why? Because we were prepared for the test. This is the strategy of the church. You don't wait till the battle's here to start calling on Jesus. You don't wait till the enemy's pouncing on you for you to say, man, I should have loved him more. Man, I should have worshiped him more. Man, I should have gave him more praise than I did. No, you do it right now in preparation for the battle. And you tell the Lord, Lord, I understand the battle doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you. So I'm going to worship you right now. I'm going to send you to first. And I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to be confident that when every battle arises, you're going to go before me. Before I ever fight, before I ever lift a hand, before I ever engage with my enemy, I have the Holy Ghost boldness and a blessed assurance that the Lord done went before me and fought my battles. That's the strategy of the church. That's the strategy of the church. When your strategic thinking is deep, when you make your preparations, when you live for God with everything that's within you, when you give God every ounce of faithfulness in your body, you can rest assured that God is going to make a way for you. God is going to show up in every battle, in every storm, in every trial, and in every tribulation. Walking into that test in school, unprepared, sure felt a lot different than when I walked in and I knew that I had done everything I could to prepare. Let me tell you something. When I fight a battle in the spiritual, it tells me exactly how I've been living. Ooh, boy, that didn't feel good. Some people start putting their toes back underneath of their chair. When I walk into a test, when I walk into a battle, it tells me everything about how I've been living, how I respond, how I act, how my confidence level is. Am I living for God with everything that within me? That's the strategy of the church today. You don't wait until the enemy is pouncing on you to start trying living. Now, God will bring many unto him by problems and situations and low points in their life. I'm talking to the church today. I'm talking to the people of God today. I'm talking to the people that God expects you to be faithful today. God expects you to give him everything in your life today. That's the strategy of the church. Boy, when you walk into a test that you're unprepared for, it's a whole different feeling than when you walk into a test that you really, really, really studied hard for. There's a confidence. There's a faith. You know that you're going to do well. It's the same way in your walk with God. This is how we fight our battles, church. This is how we prepare for our battles. This is our strategy. We live for God right now in preparation for the battles that will come tomorrow. Right now. Right now. If I told you that there was someone in this church that was going to get diagnosed with cancer next week, every one of you would be at this altar praying and seeking God that God was going to protect you through that cancer. If you knew you was the one, you would right now begin to seek the Lord before that diagnosis ever came. It's the same way with every other battle. We got to give it to the Lord right now in preparation for the battle that is to come. Before I fight, before I engage with any enemy that I may ever have, I must first be engaged with my God. I must first show him that I love him with everything that's within me. I'm going to seek him with everything that's within me. I'm going to love him. I'm going to seek him. I'm going to prepare for my battles by being faithful unto God. We're going to sing this closing song. These altars are open. I wonder if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know one thing. It sure looks a whole lot better knowing that it's in the hands of Jesus. I know one thing. It sure looks a whole lot better knowing that I've made my preparations for the battle before the battle ever gets here. Before I ever start to fight, I already gave it unto the Lord. Would you come? Would you get out of that seat as we sing this closing song unto the Lord today? Before you ever fight, before you ever engage, make sure you are engaged with the Lord today.